And in the light of the snowing flakes outside, perhaps the best thing to do is, since you, many of you were here this morning, that we'll try to get that a little better for you tonight. So, we'll look to the Lord, and God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and we thank you very much. Spirit of God, take care as the snowflakes fall. God, your thoughts about us are more than the sand of the sea, more than the snowflakes. We can't even begin, God. All we can do is say such a thing, and then, God, trusting you to understand it and to make it happen, God, because only you can be you, God. So deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. God is our creator and a savior. God created us for an awesome, wonderful purpose. He created angels to enjoy him, to be able to recognize his magnificence, and to be able to enjoy being in his presence. Angels had the right to choose to do that or not. Humans are created to have the same awesome privilege in an increasing different way, a better way, even if you could say that. And so you were created in God's wonderful plan and purpose to be able to what? To honor God, to enjoy God being God. That's why you're created. And therefore, you want to know what you're doing, running around and being who we are and what we are. We need to understand that so that we can enjoy that. Now, God, that's a wonderful thing. But sin came along, and what did sin do? Well, sin brought evil into the world. Adam and Eve, evil, sin. And what did evil do? Evil took away God and good. God is very good, as we studied a while back, in his goodness. And God, so enjoy the wonderful goodness, the glorious goodness of God. All we can do is say it. That's what we're created for. And evil comes along and takes that away from us so that we don't enjoy God. We don't enjoy being his creation. We don't enjoy being saved. And therefore, we made a choice. And when we make such choices, that brings on evil, sin, and the loss of good. We added the twin evil. What's the twin? Darkness. They go together. And darkness, what's darkness do? Well, darkness takes away the light. God is light. Now, so we have light, and light is for sight. Now, if you want to understand what it is in a most littlest way, is just think if you had no more sight. And right now, like God did many times, seemingly, in his record, what did he do to whole armies? He blinded them. Blinded the whole army. They had to follow the leader where they were going. Now, that they didn't stay blind, of course, but God blinded them. If you want to know what it is to be dark without light, The closest we can come, hopefully, and don't want to come more than that, is to close your eyes and never see again. Never see anything. Never see your hand. Never see anything. That's what dark does. Dark takes away sight. Now, that's God. So God, you created us to enjoy you. It is not your will or your pleasure that we choose to not do that. So, but you gave us a choice, and you provided a wonderful Savior before we were even born. You provided a wonderful Savior, and your business, God, Spirit of God, is to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment to save us. Wherever we are, in the middle of the Sahara Desert, on the top of Mount Washington, doesn't make any difference. Now, that's God's wonderful will. And people have chosen, the great mass of people have chosen darkness according to the God of this world. And they have chosen that. Now, my question then, in the light of that, because we want to, as you're sitting there and I was thinking, watching you, waiting, you want to be able to leave here if the Lord doesn't take us before. You want to be able to leave here, get in your car and brush the snow off and get in your car and be able to think, if you haven't even gone anywhere yet, God, it's so good to know and be able to say, thank you, God, for being my God and Savior. To begin to appreciate and appropriate the relationship that God meant you to have right now. Now, the rest of the world's doing what it's doing, but at least we're being exercised, I hope, to know what it's about. Otherwise, you're trying to make your job, your work, your home, your health, your marriage, everything, you're trying to make it. And it's limited. At its very best, it is going to fail, and it's faulty, simply because it's part of the evil old nature that we have and the darkness that we live in. So therefore, what are we up against and how do we handle it? John chapter 3, and you know, as we just think of this morning a little bit, and we're going to try to take that. Remember what darkness is? Darkness is the holding back, the verb, to restrain, to hold back, to keep back, the little word S-T-O-P, to stop. To stop it shining. Stop. And then when you make it a noun, it's dark. What are we doing? We're stopping light, and it creates darkness. We stop light. And light, and keeping as we do it, using this little light and keeping in mind as we do, the little light, the verb and the noun, to make it dark. So here's light. I'm going to go and do everything I can, as I did this morning, so you can't see. I blocked the light. But all the while, the light is lit. You can't stop the sun from shining. It creates in God's wonderful design. It creates in God's design. Darkness. God created it that way. So that the planets moving, the solar system in which we live, the world spinning around in the sun. And it gives light and darkness, light and night, day and night. That's what God did to help us understand. With the understanding that we had, we'll do it in case I never get to it anyway. Hold your finger in John 3. Over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Revelation chapter 21. And the end, the future. What's the future? We're living in darkness, etc. We got the problems of evil and darkness. And remember the future, because the future's coming. Tomorrow is going to happen and get rid of today, no matter how we cut the cookie. So, Revelation chapter 21, in the light of the great Jerusalem and all of that, the holy city, I'm going to go to verse 21:24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. That's a city. There's no more darkness. Verse 25. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There is no more night. And chapter 22, sliding over again to verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Why not? For the Lord God giveth them light. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So there's no more. There's not going to be any more night. And they say, well, when do you go to sleep? You don't. You don't go to sleep. Period. Now, some of you will be discouraged with that. But you don't go to sleep. There is no more sleep. Now, back over to John 3. That's our future. So, is that going to be good? What's good about it? It's never night. There's always light. Light. Never night. Never darkness. Always sight. Sight. Seeing. Seeing. Seeing and enjoying forever in God's awesome presence. And he puts the holy city and all of these things to be able to enjoy seeing. And never getting bored, never monotonous, nothing. Everything is perfect. And I have no idea how to tell you that experience that, neither do you. We just don't have it. Now, John chapter 3. What is the question? Why do people love darkness? If darkness is what it is, and it is, why do people love it, as what we just did? So, John chapter 3, picking up in mind, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the issue isn't sin, it isn't sins, it's believing. Christ died for the sins. So it's believing. Now verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Now we're condemned already. Well, what does it mean to be condemned already? Already judged. Verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And they loved it. Why? They loved it. They weren't going to let it go, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, what's going to happen? His deeds, his works, should be reproved to see that everything, remember we just did in this morning, Judges 21 and that, every man did that which is what? Right in his own eyes. In the dark, we read in Matthew, you remember, that the God condemns them because hearing they hear not. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have a mind to understand, but they can't understand. It's stupid, 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 stupid. I don't understand. We love darkness. The world does. Because our deeds would be reproved. And all that we do, everyone, what we do, and therefore we don't want to be reproved. We want to have the right to do. I want the right to do what I want to do and think what I want to do and believe what I want to do. And I want you to be able to think and do and believe whatever you want. And I'll believe whatever I want. That's what we like. We don't want to interfere with that. But I have to do like you do. I may not want to do like you do. So that's where we are. And we share together in Isaiah 53 in that, that all we like sheep have gone astray. When we turned, we have turned our wanting to do right, our loving the darkness, our being evil causes you. Because I'm not an example to you. I'm in the dark and you're in the dark and neither one of us. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to their own way. Everyone, what's that mean? Everyone does their own thing. And what happened? What did you do, God, about that? And the Lord laid on him, Isaiah 53:6. The Lord laid on him the iniquity, the crookedness, the going ways we shouldn't, curved, twisted, not straight, the iniquity of us all. So Christ went to the cross to fix this. So we're looking, where's the answer going to come from? Where am I going to get the good from God in Christ? Where am I going to get the light from God in Christ, who's the light of the world? Therefore, over if you would, in looking and keeping that in mind, over to Second Corinthians in chapter 4. Doing that at this point. You know this. I'm just put the pieces together. What does God do when he saves you? When you believe in you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, what happens? And it says it, so you don't have to guess at it. Chapter 4, verse 6. 4:6, you're familiar with it. For God, who commanded the what? The light to shine out from where? The darkness hath shined where? In our heart. Has shined in our hearts. For what reason? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And where am I going to find the light? In the face of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So when I receive him as my Savior, God brings into my heart the light and the right to enjoy that light, to have that light, so that I can be seeing. Hang on, so that I can see. The world is loving darkness. Darkness is surrounding. It never goes away. And all the darkness in the world pushes and pushes and crowds in philosophy, religion, politics, education, all of it's happening. And dramatically now, in a way that it hasn't. All coming together. It's been building, building, and boom, here it is on top of us. Wow, coming there. And it's dark. Dark. It isn't light. It isn't good. It's bad. But why don't the world? Why don't the country? Why don't we get upset? Because the darkness. We love darkness. It is dark. It's awful. But the awfulness is that darkness. And so in my darkness, I don't condemn that darkness or see that darkness as I ought to. I just see people doing, and we adjust. Everyone's going to adjust. They all had to adjust. Communism didn't, Russia wasn't always communist, etc. Islam wasn't always doing what it does in such form with the Shiite law and all of that. It wasn't always that. And we're used to it. We're used to adjusting, and we're going to adjust. That's what everyone else lives in. They live in communism. They go to the grocery store and get whatever. That's what we'll do. We watch this television. Television will bombard you with advertisements to buy and to sell and to get. That's what we'll do. But everything is different. Going to the darkness, darkness, darkness. So, now, did that work out? Well, let's go to our Lord. In the upper room, you remember, in the upper room, Judas is tagged, pointed out to be the betrayer, the one who's going to be going to betray our Lord. And you remember, as we did that, chapter 14 of that, and Judas goes out the door, out through the door, into the night. And God makes it clear. He makes it a point for you to know that when Judas went out, he left that lighted room into the night. Not night. It was night. No, he went out into the darkness. Into the darkness in a dark way. And it was going to get darker for him. He's ultimately going to hang himself on the tree. Now, having said that little bit, go over with me, please, to Luke and chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, picking up, if I may, pick it up in verse 51. And remember, here they are in the garden, etc. And Jesus answered and said, 51, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Verse 52, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, this is Judas' betrayal, and of the elders which come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. In other words, they're fully armed. You got the Roman soldiers, and they got the soldiers, the military, the policemen that belong to the temple. You got all the guys coming to one guy sitting in the garden looking at him. Wow. Now, God, what are you going to tell us about that? Verse 53. When I was with you in the temple, you stretched forth your hands against me, but you never could take me, could you? For 3 1/3 years, you have tried to capture me. You surrounded me, you tricked me, you deceived me, you did everything possible to try to nab me, and you couldn't catch me, could you? But now, verse 53, but now, this is your hour. What makes the hour so ominous? It's the power of darkness. That's why. And when I let darkness loose, said God, woe be. Think of the tribulation. When I let darkness loose. Right now, God is seeking to control, keep it in check. Now, having said that little bit, so the power of darkness and its awesome power in set. Over now, to jump ahead, over to Revelation, into the tribulation, chapter 16. That was then for Christ going to the cross, and out of it comes the resurrection and the rejection of Christ. That's why we're here, to bear witness that he rose again. He died and rose again. That's our purpose that's the purpose of the church. Revelation chapter 16, picking up in the light of it, if I can, in verse 9. The men were scorched with great heat, and scorched with with great. The men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over his plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. In other words, why don't we turn to God and get relief? Why don't the countries, why don't the people turn to God and get rid of this dumb plague? But they don't turn to God. They don't turn to God. Now, here we are. We're exceptions. We understand that we aren't supposed to be in this system and that we can live in it, through it, in spite of it. Now, so therefore, to give him glory, verse 10, and the fifth angel sounded, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. What is the key? Darkness. Darkness. God let it loose. Got rid of the light. Got rid of the restraining influence. And let darkness prevail. Darkness prevails. So, in the light of that, and to see that, go over to Revelation chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, picking up, please. And you'll see it, you'll remember it, in the picking up, if I can, the N-O, for time's sake, for verse 15. Well, I got to get 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the whole bunch of us, and the mighty men and every bondman, everyone that works and everyone that owns work and employee, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They got to hide. What are they hiding from? And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who should be able to stand? And remember Joel and all of those. We didn't do all of them this morning. What is it? And darkness. Darkness will form. Darkness will form when he comes. Comes. And that means, God, it's not going to be good. Not going to be good. No. The sun will turn to dark. Dark. The blood. The moon will turn to blood. Bad. I'm not going to do that. I am, said God. I am. Okay, so God, well, here we are, sitting here, and we have a sense of the people, the world like it is, and you're helping people that do and care, and you know there are dear people, they're sincere people, they're caring people, and they love you, love and everything. But you know what? If you want to go and pin him down, see how much they are loving you. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration that sits in my mind at that point. Nelson Blount, you don't remember him, I'm sure. Nelson Blount was the owner of Ocean Spray Cranberry Sauce. And I was having lunch with him one day. I had so many people. I was thinking of it. I said, wow, I've met so many people in my little life. Wow. Anyway, Nelson Blount. And we were having lunch together and sharing. And in the process, he showed me his little card that he uses to witness. And his little card, little easy little card to have. And on one side of the card, I will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that kind of thing, positive thing. And you sign your name. And he'd hand that to somebody and have them read it. And they said no. Then you turn the card over. I am personally, now this isn't the wording. I am rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Sign it. And he found it very hard to find anyone that would. would sign that? Understand? Who's going to sign that? Because you know in your gut that you don't ever want to face, people don't want to ever face. You know. Because God put that in you to know. And we avoid it. How? By evil and darkness. That's how we can avoid everything. That's how we can, friends, neighbors, governments, religions, philosophies, that's how we can make it. Now, having said that little bit, then God, what about us? Well, God, over to Psalm 139. We aren't going to make darkness. Darkness is there. Isn't going away. Not going away. Not yet. And in Psalm 139, you're going to recall, remember David? David, I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, that's where we are. We're getting it together. Now, and here's David, as it were, and picking up, if I can, David, help us. So, I'm going to pick up, if I can, in verse 7. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? There's nowhere to go. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Hades, Sheol, behold, thou art there. I will take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So there's nowhere to get away, God. Nowhere to escape. And even if I try to, and even when I go, you're always there wherever I am. So therefore, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light. Even the night shall be light unto me. So God, verse 12. In other words, there's nowhere I'm going to go, said David, in the darkness. I try to hide. But when I try to hide, my heart and my mind understand that I can't hide. I can't hide. How do you hide from God? You don't. Therefore, verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to thee. There's no difference. God is God. There is no place to hide, like we just read in Revelation 6. There's no place to hide. There's nowhere to run. You've got to face the darkness. You've got to, what do you need? You need sight. You need light. Christ. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. He's the light of the world. That's what we read in 1 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I need to receive him as my Savior and Lord. That's why Christ died on the cross, to save from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to us all the way into the millennium. Wow. So now, God, here we are looking to you. And to catch it a little better, even Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, picking up in thought. And you will note, wonderful psalm, we keep going to these things because they're so wonderful. And in the light of that, in my soul thirsteth, verse 2, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night. When I feel good, when I feel bad, I'm always faced with the reality of being alive on planet Earth. God, I got to keep in mind, I got to keep it straight. Hang on, I got to keep it straight. Because if I don't, when I'm good, I have a good day at work and then I have a bad day at work. I feel good one day and feel bad the next day. People like me one day, people hate me the next day. by up and down, up and down. I try to make it God. And the people look at me and say, they don't say it to anyone else. They don't say it to church people and that. No, they say it to believers. Where is your God? They don't talk to, when's the last time you heard church people talking about where is your God? Church people don't talk about where is your God. Church, they went to church, fulfilled the thing, and whatever. They even had a cup of coffee and a few donuts. And what can I tell you? Now, so God, here we are looking. Here the psalmist. Therefore, I wanted, what about the psalmist? Well, where is your God? Now, sliding down to verse 8. For the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day time, and in the night his song shall be with me. His song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. God, what am I going to do? It's dark. Uh-huh. Now, God, when I can't see, God always sees. The clouds come. We can't go in Isaiah and that. What has separated us between God? And God said, the sin cloud has come, storm cloud over you. You can't see the sun, S-O-N, because the cloud of sin is there. You need to get rid of the cloud. So, here we are looking, and is it God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give a song in the night. So in the night for the believer knows that they want God's good. They want the light. They want God. God has a wonderful purpose and plan. And that purpose and plan is what you want for your life. And what's going to kill it? Evil and darkness. That's what kills your plan. Now, I'm going to do a little light again for the better or worse. Here's the light. Now, I'm going to take and we're going to go and we're going to use your imagination. We're going to create darkness like we read in Exodus, thick darkness, the shadow of death, darkness, the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Now we're going to bring darkness. And what am I going to do to put darkness? Darkness. I can't get it. So I hate using my hands again. But think of your hand, darkness. Now, I'm going to hold the darkness, and let's pile it up. So I'm going to put my hands out, and then make believe you're all going to put your hands around this, about my hands, so the light can't escape. And you've got your hands around it, right? Hold it tight. How much darkness? What can darkness do to the light? How much darkness does it take to put out the light? Is that a good question? How much darkness puts out this light? There's no darkness. Darkness cannot put out that light. The only way this light can be put out is from within. The only way God's going to get the light out of you so you don't enjoy it is you do it, I do it myself. It's our unbelief and ignorance. There's no light, there's no badness, there's no disease, there's nothing that can take away the wonderful plan God has for your life. Do you understand? That's what you chose. That's why God saves you. That's why God died for you. So you can enjoy his good. And you hate the dark. The dark, I hate the dark. I'm in the dark, but I hate the dark. I hate it. I love light. I love light. I do. I love it. And I love good. I love God's wonderful plan and purpose, which we're going to look at tonight to see where we'll wrap up. We'll have to restrain it a little bit. And maybe tomorrow I'll know better where we are. I mean, who knows? Maybe. So, Do you understand? The reason you're going to get your life loused up is because of you. So don't blame anyone else. The only one that can put out the light in your life, in the sense of not enjoying it, is you. So please don't blame anybody, parents, friends, governments, pain, disease. Please don't blame anything. The only way you lose out is when you yourself refuse to be believing. And that's why. It's easy. Because we like to think everyone else. You know, no, it isn't the reason. The reason you're the heart, to enjoy the life. Now, you're looking for life. Don't look out here. It's in here. What's in here? God's in Christ in you. That's a wonderful thing. Over to Colossians. Colossians. If I can. Colossians chapter 1. Although it's saying it all we're doing is looking at darkness and the power of darkness. Over, if I can, Colossians chapter 1. And picking up, please, directly in the prayer, verse 13. God who hath delivered us from the what? The power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, that's the prayer. God, you did it. You did it. You did it. You did it. That's right. That's right. God did it. Over, if you would, please, to Ephesians. God say it again to us in a different way, the power of darkness. But the power of darkness is going to keep attacking. It isn't going to quit. Because we're in the dark. You're in the light. You're in the light, walking in the light, in the night. The light in the night. That's joy. Ephesians chapter 6, sliding if I can, in the light of the armor that we put on. And you remember that, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceits, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, from kings, potentates, dictators, tax collectors, IRS, the whole thing. Well, the whole system, world system, government and everything. In verse 12, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, God, that's what you did. You give us. You give us wonderful, wonderful, wonderful understanding that we have a problem because we're light in darkness. And what do we know? The world loves darkness rather than light. They hate light. So as long as you stay dark and don't illuminate the area, you know, you don't want to go up, it's a silly illustration, you know, you're at work there or something, and you go up to the coffee machine or the machine, and you go up to the machine to get something, and you go up to the machine singing some song, Jesus Saves to the Uttermost Me, that's a song, and you go and, you know, you sing and say, and then you say, are you people saved? And they all look at you trying to wait to get their coffee and decide there's no need for coffee right now. And they all leave, you know. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because they love darkness. And you don't, if you come like that, they'll stay there and say, go back to your desk and you can't get any coffee. Because they won't let you get a coffee. They love darkness. But so the world's there. That's where you are. You're light in the darkness, so you, therefore you do it reasonably and honorably in a good way, recognizing you can have dark. Like the Red Dog Saloon over here, it used to be there, and we used to use that as an illustration, you know. And you can't go in the Red Dog Saloon and say, all right, everybody, and take your BB gun and shoot all the bottles and break them, you know, and everything, and say, you can't have any more liquor. And they say, well, thank you for such a message. You know, they don't do that. They don't do that. And neither do we go in the bath. Neither would we go in the place and tell them that. They have a right. They want to do what they're going to do, the drugs and everything. That's what they're doing. It's a dumb thing. You shoot your mind, kill your mind. That's what they're doing. They have a right to do that. They're in the dark. But you're in the light. And therefore you stay on target. And you recognize darkness has the right to be dark, the prince of this world. When does the devil ever go to the light? He manifests himself what? As an angel of light when he's really darkness. He isn't going to help. So I don't have to tell everybody they have to get right. They're wrong. They have to get saved. They don't want to get saved. That's their business. They don't have to. God has a wonderful plan. So here's Ephesians and Ephesians 6, chapter 4. And you will note in chapter 4, picking up in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Well, how do Gentiles walk, which we're trying to think about, people around the world we live in? Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's why. So you're trying to tell them not to be blind, to understand. They don't want to understand. If they reject light, putting the color chart in front of them for 25 hours won't help them to see it. Telling them 75 verses in the Bible won't help them. They need to believe. They need to believe in order to see. And if they don't believe, they don't see. That's all. And you can spend everybody, as long as we're in the dark and blind and reading, we could read a whole book of Genesis like this. We could read a whole prophetic book like this, Revelation. We don't see. And we're all done. We write a whole book. We write up notes. We write a whole book about the book. They say, but you don't see. You need to see. That's the whole point, to see. So here we are. We don't want to be like that. Over, if you would, chapter 5. Therefore, we don't want to be like that. And God, darkness is around us, and the Gentiles are in the dark, and that's where we were. We aren't anymore. We got saved. Receiving the Lord as our Savior. Chapter 5. Here we are sliding down quickly to verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness. That's right. That's right. We lived in the dark. We were dark until we got saved. We were sometimes darkness, verse 8. But now are ye light in the Lord, and therefore walk as children of light. You aren't in the dark anymore because you received the Lord as your Savior. So what are we going to do? I don't understand. Look to God. Look to God. Thank God that he's God. He's your God and Savior. Thank God that he's very good and that God understands on everything. There's no darkness to God at all. He understands. He's the creator. He's in charge. So you're going to look to God. You don't know much else. So we say it sometime. God help me. God help me. Simple. God help me. No. See? Why? Because he's God. So, God, how are we going to get through? Well, as children of light, as we walk in the light, think of what we did this morning, as we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. So, God, we're in the light. What, we're with you. God, David, you said it, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God's with us. That's right. So we didn't do anything to make it happen. It just is. It just is. It's the way it is. Sliding down, we don't want to be. Chapter 5, sliding down over, if I can, to verse 11. And Lord, this is 5:11, Ephesians. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We don't want to. Sliding down. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved, made manifest, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. People don't want light. They hate light. They don't want to have to think about it like that. They don't mind some thought you have or some theory you have. But to tell them they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior, they need to see. They need to understand. Why don't they understand? Because they love darkness rather than light. And they need to see. They need to have their blindness recovered. That's what they need to do. And if you don't go to the eye doctor, then you won't get your sight back. That's the thing. So what are we doing? God, we got to have some height. Someone has to operate on the blind man's eyes so that he can see. And only God can do that. Only God can help us to see. Thank God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind and in the light of that, we pick it up in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Believers, wake up. Wake up. Hold your finger here. Go over to Romans 13. Romans 13, and we'll quit. Romans 13, you remember admonitions are given over and over. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse sliding down, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now, that it is high time to awake, you just said, wake thou that sleepest, awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And it's certainly closer than when you started this afternoon. The night, verse 12, is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So God, the only way we're going to make this, only way we're going to make it is to make sure we're rightly looking to you. You're the light of the world. So God, here I go, using my little flashlight again. Here's my flashlight, and I'm going to go, and here it is, lit. And now, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure that in my heart I understand this light, if you could understand it, the light never goes out in my heart. You understand? It never goes out. God is never dark in your heart. He's always light. He's always right. He always sees and understands. So no matter where I do, it's always light. Always light. Never goes out. Never goes out. Work, home, school, easy, hard, much, little. It never goes out. Do you think it goes out? Is Christ in and out? If Christ is in your heart, there has to be light. Do you understand? You don't have any choice. He's light. And you're in the dark. And you have to understand. We have to love light. We have to seek light, walk in the light. That's what we do. I got the light and I walk in it, trusting God. All around me is darkness, thick darkness. But God is there. And God understands. I don't understand it all, but I don't need to understand it all. I don't need to understand who does what when. If God gave me specifics, I could say it. But when I don't have, all I can do is read it and know that God's going to do it. And God understands it because God said it. So I don't have to sit down and have a big fight over it or read 75,000 things to figure it out. God already knows what it is. God already knows. Wow. So, God, in your wonderful grace, back in Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And what is that? Be not drunk with wine. Don't try to find a relief and an out, an escape. Don't do it that way. Be not drunk with wine, or wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to do a most wonderful thing in your life. And only you can stop the light. Only you can lose out. The reason you'll lose not enjoying the reason you will not enjoy being saved and the benefits of being saved are all in your own ball, in your own court. And it's your own life. That's where it is. So you never can blame anybody else. We do it, and we settle for a comparison kind of existence instead of a wonderful existence God has given us in Christ. That's an awesome thing. So I appreciate your patience. We walk by faith and what? And not by sight. The only way you can walk is by faith. And if you want another closing that may be helpful, Hebrews. In the great chapter on faith and that, Hebrews chapter 11. And here's Moses, as you know, sliding down verse 27 directly. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Could have been up there with Pharaoh, his so trained as a son. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, the wrath of the world. No, darkness. They loved darkness, but he endured. How on earth, Moses, did you live the next 40-80 years of your life? I lived it out there in the desert for 40 years. And 40 years before God in this nation of Israel, by seeing him who is invisible. That's how I did it. God, here we are. And we have understanding to put this together to go with it. Now, either we understand a little bit, and evil is it going to rob us. Evil heart, evil world. Darkness is going to take away light. My unbelief is going to get in the way and try to stop the light. I don't realize I'm doing that, but that's what I'm doing. Because I'm listening over here for this will save me, this will help me, that will do it. I need to understand this. What I need to understand is I have a wonderful Savior and a wonderful God, and I want to go forward inch by inch and trust him, no matter if the snow's 50 feet deep, no matter if the fire is extremely hot. God, I want to go in the cold and then the hot. I want to go, God, with you. You'll keep me in the cold. You can make cold very terrible. And heat the fire very hot. But God, you're able to keep us in the thick and the thin of it. Thank you. No? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you, God. It's just us here, and you have to help us in every way. In the most ordinary, normal things, like on the highway, driving and going and coming, and health and work and home and safety. God, you have to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. God, we don't know what to say. Thank you. We want to understand. We don't want to be sort of numbskulls and not say something. We don't understand it. We try to live with our ignorance and the way we think. I don't want to think my way. God, I want to think your way. I want the freedom to enjoy life, your life, your good. I want to be able to walk in the light. God, even so, come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.